Turn in your Bibles to Psalms chapter 73. Psalms chapter 73. The title of my message tonight is Finding Hope in a Justless World. Finding Hope in a Justless World. I'd like to go through this chapter tonight. This chapter is kind of the inner thoughts of a man by the name of Asaph, who struggled with finding hope in a justless world around him. He struggled with finding true joy and happiness and hope in a world that was destitute of God. Psalm 73 will open with just one verse tonight. The Bible says in verse 1, "Truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart." Lord, I thank you for everything you've done for us. I thank you that you've blessed us, God. I thank you for giving me the opportunity to preach. I pray that you would give me the words to speak. I pray that as your word goes forth, it would land on fertile ground. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm sure many of us, if not really all of us, grew up being taught stories of some kind, whether for a purpose of teaching us a lesson or whether simply for entertainment. But generally, oftentimes, the most beloved stories, the stories that tend to be our favorites, have a common theme. There's something consistent about them, and that's justice. We tend to like the stories as humans where the people we think as the good guys end up victorious, end up winning in whatever conflict they're in, while the bad guys have to deal with the consequence of their actions. But if we're to look at society tonight, if we were to look at history, does this ring true? Is this consistent? Is this based in reality? Is justice really in the world? It often seems that for every good mankind achieves, they commit an even greater evil. And this is what Asaph is struggling with. He's struggling looking around him at the people in leadership, at those he knows are serving God. And there doesn't seem to be justice. There seems to be injustice all around him. Tonight, I would like to go through this chapter. Interestingly enough, point number one, the proclaimed conclusion, he actually starts with just a small conclusion that he got from this chapter. He says in verse 1, we just read it, "Truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart." If you're unsure of where I'm going with this message, if you don't know anything about this chapter, God is good, God is just, and if we want hope, if we want to find hope in a justless world, we must find God. We must have a walk with God. He doesn't spend long on his conclusion. He doesn't spend long on good news, though. He quickly jumps into the struggle he's having, finding hope. He says in verse 2, "But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. For I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. Therefore pride compasseth them about as a chain. Violence covereth them as a garment." So Asaph takes a step back and he looks at those in leadership positions. He looks at those who are rich and prosperous, and it's not the people he would expect God to put there. They were evil, wicked, and not just-filled men. He says in verse 11, "And they say, how doth God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High? Behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches." So Asaph takes a step back and he looks, and the people are succeeding are those who are denying God's actual existence. The only ones Asaph saw succeeding was the wicked in their wickedness. If we were to look at the rich and prosperous today, I would say that this still rings true, that many of those who are victorious, many of those who are in leadership positions in our world, oftentimes aren't the people we would expect God to place there. And I think many Christians struggle, and I think many people struggle with the fact that those leading, those who are in places we would envy, are not God-fearing men, they're wicked men. Not only does he see the prosperity of the wicked, he sees the plight of the righteous. In verse 13, he begins talking about himself. He says, "Verily, I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocency. For all the day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning." Not only did Asaph see the prosperity of the wicked, but he experienced trials in his own life. So Asaph takes a step back, and not only is he watching the people, the wicked people in the world succeed, he's experiencing trials in his own life. And he says, "Am I doing this in vain? Am I washing my hands in innocency in vain?" If you have ever truly and fervently attempted to serve God, you've probably realized it's not easy. I think many Christians approach a life for God as something that has no struggle, something that is easy to do, and they quickly realize that this is not the case. In fact, God tells us in 2 Timothy 3:12, "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. God does not tell the disciples to take up their riches, their plenteous possessions, and their ease and follow him. God tells them to take up their cross and follow him. If we want to truly live a Christian life, we must experience and we must expect some level of trials. So then why live for God? And this is what Asaph is struggling with. Where is justice? How do I find hope when those who are not living for God are succeeding while I'm struggling? Where is hope in this? Where is justice in this? He says in verse 16, when I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. He doesn't find hope in the world around him. He doesn't experience hope looking at the circumstances around him. But I love verse 17. Until I went into the sanctuary of God, then understood I their end. Lastly, the promise of justice. Asaph doesn't find hope in the world. Asaph doesn't find justice in the world around him. He finds it in God. If we want to find hope, find God. If we want to find justice, we must have a walk with God. Asaph finally begins to find justice and hope when he comes into the presence of a just God. Similarly, if we want to find justice and hope, we must have a walk with Almighty God. Justice may wait for eternity. We might not see the justice for both the wicked and the righteous here on this earth. Maybe God allows the judgment to wait until eternity. Maybe those who lead in wickedness, those who gain possessions through evil actions won't be judged on this earth. Maybe those who decide to live for God won't experience the rewards of these decisions here on earth. But God does tell us about an eternity full of justice where judgment awaits. Firstly, Asaph begins to talk about judgment for the wicked. He says in verse 18, surely thou didst set them in slippery places. Thou castest them down into destruction. How are they brought into desolation? As in a moment, they are utterly consumed with terrors. And those who do not accept Jesus Christ will unfortunately experience an eternity in hell for their sin. Those who do accept Jesus Christ but choose not to live for him will stand before God with absolutely nothing to show for their lives. If you're in either one of these categories, friend, tonight I would implore you to change your actions because judgment is coming. It may seem that there's no justice around us right now, but judgment is coming. But then he speaks about hope for the righteous, judgment and rewards for the righteous. In verse 24, he says, thou shalt guide me with thy counsel and afterward receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. For sake of time, I'll jump down to verse 28. But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God that I may declare all thy works. Yes, Christians are promised. Those who live for God are promised an eternity in the presence of God. But they're also given an opportunity to walk with God now. They're also given an opportunity to have a real, genuine relationship with God. There is no amount of riches. There is no amount of plenteous. There's no amount of prosperity that can replace this. Many of us have, as I close, many of us have heard the Christmas song, I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day. The original poem was actually written by Henry Wadsworth Longfellow. It differs slightly from the song. I wanted to read it all tonight. For sake of time, I'm not going to be able to. But I'd like to give some backstory to this poem. Longfellow's wife, in a tragic accident, actually burns to death in front of him in 1861. The Civil War then begins in 1863, and he watches his son go off to war, and he's severely wounded very quickly in the war. And on Christmas Day of 1863, as Longfellow thinks on these things and he struggles with these things, he writes a poem called I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day. And he spends three stanzas talking about the message of the bells, hope to the world, justice and love for the world. He then spends three stanzas talking about the absolute grief and agony he sees in the world around him, the terror that's going on in the world. I'd like to read you the end of the poem, though. He says, and in despair, I bowed my head. There is no peace on earth, I said, for hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. He begins to look at the world around him, and he doesn't see hope. He doesn't see justice. There is no peace on earth, I said. There wasn't peace on earth. There was war raging. There was death and murder going on around him. Yet he spends one stanza at the end of the poem, and I love this. He says, then pealed the bells more loud and deep. God is not dead, nor doth he sleep. The wrong shall fail, the right prevail. With peace on earth, goodwill to men. Why do we expect to find hope in a world that is hopeless? Find hope in God. Longfellow never finds hope in the world around him. He finds it in God. Maybe you're here tonight and you've been distraught with watching those around you who decide not to live for God succeed. And maybe you struggle with finding hope when these people are able to succeed. Find your hope in God. Find justice in God. Maybe you're here tonight and you've truly tried to live for God. You're experiencing trials and you begin to become discouraged. Find hope in God. If you want to find justice, find God. If you want to find peace, walk with God. If you want to find joy, live for God. Truly, God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. Lord, I thank you for everything you've done for us. I do thank you that you've blessed us, God. I thank you once again for the opportunity you gave me to preach. Lord, I pray that we would find our hope in you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.